Well, we want to welcome here to Hereford United Methodist Church, and I'm glad you chose to spend this time with us. Got a number of our folks that are walking today, so be praying for them. I'm glad to see the church scattered even on a Sunday morning, being the body of Christ. Why don't you just mark on your calendar? How many know there's an election coming? Anybody that's not, yeah, anybody like kind of sick and want to get it over with? Ready? Yeah, you ready? Well, listen, we have a special prayer meeting coming up on Wednesday, November 2nd. Circle that. We'll just gather in the sanctuary, and let's just focus our hearts. Be praying now, I hope, but let's just focus in our hearts. It's not a time for, we're not going to have discussions about positions or candidates or advocate anything. We're just going to come and seek God. The Bible says that if my people, that's what God says, if my people will humble themselves, repent of their sins, seek God's face, God says, I'll forgive you of your sins, and I'll heal your land. So let's come. Let's pray for that to happen. The second thing I want to just lift up is we are going to have a meeting on November 6th in between the worship service. It'll be very brief, but most of you got a letter talking about our campaign this fall about now's the time. I want to make sure if there's any questions, that's a time that you can share and we can just have some discussion and dialogue about that. You'll hear more about that this morning. But I thank you that you're here, and again, be praying for our church scattered this morning. Well, we are in a theme of this fall called Now's the Time, and we've been looking at a variety of issues facing the church and facing our world and you and I as disciples. Last week, we talked about Psalm 78. There's a fascinating verse. We've been sharing about how limitless God is. God's indescribable. He's awesome. There's nothing too hard for God. That's what the prophet Jeremiah said. Jesus said, nothing's impossible with God. And yet in Psalm 78, we have this beautiful song, this very strange lyrics about how the people of Israel, God's people, would be provided by God miraculously in the desert in their Exodus journey, right? The 40 years of desert. God's providing for them. God's doing all these things. But they keep rebelling against God. They're stubborn and they're hard-hearted. And this verse just sticks out among all of them. Read it nice and loud with me. Again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. See, what that scripture verse says is that although God is limitless, you and I can limit what God does in us and through us by our attitudes, by our lifestyle, even by our beliefs. And we looked at some of the common ways that we limit God last week. And you can get on the website and hear that message. Unbelief is one of them. Fear, pride, spiritual immaturity. There's ways we limit God. But I saved the big one here for last because this is probably the most common way that we limit God. And that is with our attitude of selfishness. Now, we're going to have a conversation here this morning. So I know anytime we talk about giving and like, oh, this is going to get, no, just relax. It's going to be good. In fact, if it all turns out right, I'm going to juggle 10 apples at one time. No, I'm not, but that might get your interest. Selfishness. I love it in the scripture. I picked three different ways, three different versions of how they describe, how the psalmist describes the selfishness of the people of Israel. Read this first one with me out of the Authorized Standard Version. And they tempted God in their heart by asking food according to their desire. According to their desire. See, they're out in the wilderness. There's no game out there. There's no water. But God provides two things. He provides fresh water from a rock. He keeps splitting these rocks, feeding the Israelites water supernaturally. And he gives them this amazing stuff called manna. How many of you ever heard of manna? All right. It's this, we call it, it's like a bread something. In Hebrew, the word manna means, what is it? Because it was like this strange coating on the earth that happened every morning like the dew. And that manna had every nutrient, every vitamin, protein, everything for the human body, not just to survive, but to thrive. So they were being fed. They didn't have to go, in the morning, they'd go out and collect it. They could get water from the springs coming out of the rock. But they weren't satisfied with this holy bread and this fresh divine water. They wanted more. More and more. God, we want meat. We want roast pheasant. We want prime rib. We want steak. We want hamburger. We want meat. They couldn't have pork. They couldn't have hot dogs. But come on, relax. We're not at the money part yet. But they were selfish. Now, you know, we thought that only us in the 21st century had a problem with consumerism and materialism. But even those wandering Israelites who had nothing but the clothes on their back, being sustained by God, wanted more and more. So one of it is that they wanted food to their desire. You ever want something? You know, there's a difference when we say God will meet your needs, but he won't meet your greeds, right? Sometimes we want stuff. My kids, I'm getting their list for Christmas. It's unreal. Here's how it says in the New Living Testament. I love this version too. It says they willfully tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they... Do you ever have a craving? Isn't that what gets you up at 1 o'clock in the morning? Have a craving? Go down, search the refrigerator. Whoever put lights in refrigerators knew it was for us midnight guys that raid the refrigerator, see what's around. And then I love this version too, the King James. Some of us grew up on the King James Version. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. You ever lusted after your next door neighbor drives up in that new sports car and you're like, oh God, I serve you. He doesn't even go to church. Look what you let him buy. And I have this little beat up, I won't say the Studebaker. See how old some of us are in here. See, this is not just a problem in the 21st century. It was the way that humans live, and God doesn't like it. See, what God says, Jesus says, this is the way the pagans live. People who don't know God, is they always want more, 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 and more. And so this whole idea is that when we have this attitude of more, 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 this attitude of selfishness, what I do have is mine, I earned it, I get to spend it, that's what blocks and limits what God can do in your life, because God doesn't move towards selfishness. God moves towards generosity. Our God is a giving God. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. And generosity, see, selfishness will limit what God can do in your life. Generosity increases the resources of God in your life. And when we become generous, we become just like the most generous being in the whole universe, God Almighty, who constantly gives. So the antidote to selfishness is generosity. All right, the antidote to selfishness. If you ever want to cure the selfishness in your life, you have to take the pill of generosity. You have to move from selfishness to generosity because it unleashes the flood. Now, I brought a couple demonstrations this morning of what we're going to look at. And the first is a simple pipe. You know, your life is really this pipe. And when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you become part of God's family. God says, you are now a pipe through which will flow all my resources to work in the kingdom of God and to bless those in need. So if you can picture the waterfall of God's resources, this is you. You position yourself right in the midst of that waterfall. What's going to happen? That water is going to flush through you and out into the world, meeting needs. This is God's design of generosity. It's saying, look, my life, God, it's all yours. This pipe is not even my own. You know, Paul would write in 2 Corinthians, says, you're not your own. You're bought at a great price. So all of us who are bought by Jesus Christ, we're not our own. We're like this pipe. And for God to move in the world, we position ourselves for God to move in your life. And all of his resources flow through this pipe. Can you imagine? And I tell you what, understanding this alone will change your heart and life towards giving. I've seen people of very minimal, minimal sustenance. I mean, really poor people who give and give beyond measure. Why? Because they understand my life is a pipe. As long as I'm connected to the flow of God's resources, God can do anything he wants through me and in me. And so we'll be living this way, and God will say, hey, there was a terrible, terrible hurricane that hit down in Charlotte and Georgia and Florida. Aim it that way. So you aim your life that way. God's resources flow through. And it's an exciting way to live. Oh, there's a person on the block where they're desperate. God says, move that over there. And it just flows. And of course, you have church and ministry, and it just keeps flowing and flowing. Now, this is the way we come into the kingdom of God. But I tell you what happens. Anybody ever have a clogged pipe? Yeah, it gets clogged. And guess what? We clog our lives. And you know what clogs it? Stuff. More stuff. And so we take and we say, you know, God, I know I'm channeling your resources, but man, I really want that Lamborghini. And I want my 10 Rolexes, and I want my my 500. And what happens is we begin to stuff this pipe with stuff. The thing that stuffs it the worst is our attitude towards what we have and what we earn. We think it's ours, selfishness. So when you have a clogged pipe, sometimes it just drips, right? Well, guess what happens? You're still standing in the flow of God's resource, but now God can't put any more in your pipe because it's clogged and only little drips are coming out. And so you aim this drip now over here where there's need, and you're just getting some drips. It limits what God can do when you close off your life to the generosity of God's blessings and God's grace. Now, how do I know this happens? I just got done a 3-day training event. It's a 2-year program, Financial Leadership Academy. And guess what they told me? They said that the average United Methodist, don't raise any hands, gives 1.6% of their income, charitable income, to the church. Folks, that's a drip. And we're going to see why in a minute. That's a drip. 30% of United Methodists across the United States give nothing at all to the work of their church in the kingdom of God. Why is that? How's that happen? It happens because we clog the pipe. We don't understand how we're limiting God through not opening up this pipe and letting it flow. So, what's the antidote to a clogged pipe? Not Roto-Rooter, but who's listening? Generosity. You want to unclog the pipe, you've got to start being generous, and then that little drip and drip begins to flow a little bit better, and then all that stuff that the kids put down the drain comes, and then now you've got a free flow of God's resources. Now, this can be hard to do. One of the things, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, one of the biggest changes that should happen in your life is from a selfish person, you're transforming to a generous person. That takes some time and discipleship and growth. But God also gave us a design to help us understand how to unclog the pipe and get things flowing again. In the Old Testament, it's called the tithe. It's called the tithe. It's also called the first fruits. How do we unclog the pipe? In the Old Testament, God says, listen, it's all mine. Do we understand that? No matter what you're giving out of your pipe, it's all God's, right? You know, I know people say, wait a minute, I earned this, I worked hard for this, this is mine. And God says, oh, really? Who gave you the health? Who gave you the job? Who's sustaining you? Who's keeping you? See, it's all God's. And God says, out of all the blessings that I give you, I want you, the first thing you do when you get paid, we go back to Old Testament times, first thing you do after you bring in the harvest or you bring in your cattle or your sheep, you want to take the first tenth. I've got 10 apples here. You take the first tenth and you give that to God. Now here's what God's thinking. God's saying, here's what happens. If you give me the first tenth, what that says to me and to you and to your family is that first, it all belongs to God. I'm giving you the first tenth. And secondly, I'm looking to you, God, to be my resource and my provider. Just 1 out of 10. Isn't that a great deal? Look at that. You've got, this is your life. He just says, hey, just give me this. If you present this to me in faith, he says, I'll make sure the 90%, which is still mine, you're the manager of it, but he said, I'll make sure this goes farther than if you were to keep it all. Now, that's a good deal. That's a great economy. But this is an amazing thing. We're to give it first because, number one, God doesn't like leftovers. Who's really keen about leftovers? I mean, Thanksgiving, the first night's good. Second night, it goes from, and finally when you get that strange hash or that turkey oatmeal, you know, meatloaf thingy that comes at the end, you're like, oh, you're turkeyed out. Listen, we give this first to God because if we wait and pay all of our other bills first, guess what happens? We don't have enough. And I think that's why people will say, well, you know, I can't do a tenth, God, but I tell you what I'll do. I didn't do this, by the way, by practice. I'll give you, there you go, God. There's my 1.6. And then we say, God, I don't get it. I can't get ahead of my bills. I can't get ahead. God, you said you'd bless me, and you're not doing these things, and I'm praying and not seeing this release. See, folks, this might be a starting point, but it doesn't honor God. In Malachi chapter 3, there's some really harsh words that God says, so please listen carefully, because God says this to help us grow in Him, but also to unclog our pipes, okay? This is God's Roto-Rooter section of the Scripture. Malachi chapter 3, God is having a discussion with the Israelites who have drifted away from following the Lord with all their heart. They were doing outward things, thinking that it pleased God. So God has this conversation with the people, and He says, you know, you're cheating me. How do you expect me to bless you when you're cheating me? A lot of versions use the word robbing me. And the people go, how in the world could we be robbing you, God? How could we be cheating you? And here's what it says in Malachi chapter 3. Because you've not brought in your full tithe. You haven't given with your heart the first tenth to me. And then he says, that's why you're cursed with a curse. That's why you can never catch up in your bills. That's why you're always behind financially. That's why your cattle are always getting sick. That's why your grapes never come to fruition. That's why everything. So listen, I cannot bless you when you don't understand that it's all mine and that I want that first tenth to know that you honor me and love me and trust me. But here's the good part. Here's what he says. If you do this, if you'll give me that first tenth, he says, I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. And your fields will prosper, your cattle will prosper, your lives will. I will be unlimited with what I can do in your life and through your life if you'll do this. And he says this amazing thing. Put me to the test, says God. Now, you know, anywhere else in the Scripture, you put God to the test and you're like incinerated. The next moment, you don't test God. Remember, Satan came to tempt Jesus in the desert, and Jesus said, you shall not tempt God. You don't put God to the test. You don't do that. You don't test God. But here's one place in the Bible where God says, see, God knows our money is so deep in our heart. It's the one thing that pushes for control of your heart. It's the one thing that God has to compete with in our heart, in the human heart. And God understood that because He made us. And He says, listen, I can change that heart and turn it into a generous heart if you'll commit a tenth to me. Now, Linda and I, we learned this years ago, but it was a process because we were living on virtually nothing. I was substituting teaching every once in a while. She was a secretary at the college. And when we heard this amazing scripture and someone taught us saying, Bill, you want to open up your pipe, you've got to tithe. And I said, I can't afford to tithe. And you know what this guy said to me? You can't afford not to. The way it looks like, you can't afford not to. And so Lynn and I took a step of faith, and I can remember painfully writing that first tithe check. Oh gosh, are we going to eat this week, Lord? You know, will I have gas to get to work, Lord? And I could tell you the stories of God's provision that just opened our eyes. And I can tell you, No matter where we've been and how our income has fluctuated, we've always honored God and said, God, you'll get the first tenth at least. And God has kept us and resourced us. And I tell you, it's a miracle thing. And there's some people here I know that you could share the same story. That when God awakened you to tithing, that it suddenly changed the whole game as far as what God was doing in your life. You see, that's not going to honor God. Not when we do so many other things with our finances. And if you want that pipe unclogged. Now, I'm going to blow your mind a little bit. Are you ready? This is Old Testament. Because people will say, Bill, that's the Old Covenant. I'm a New Testament believer. I'm under the covenant of grace in Jesus Christ. Right on. You are exactly right. Let's talk about that. Jesus says, here's what Jesus says about giving. He says, first off, all the 10 apples are God's. We got that one, right? You've got, right, that everything you have and own is God's. Nod your head if that's, poke the person next to you, see if they're living, breathing. Everybody still breathing? This is okay. This is fun. This is good. I love to talk about money. So it's all God. So we have that understood. That's Old Testament too. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus says, now when it's time to give, give it all. Ooh, I kind of like the Old Testament, yeah? But didn't you like the Old Testament? One-tenth, give it all. There's a great story in the Bible where it's really interesting. Jesus is watching a widow come to give offerings. And he's there at the temple. All these wealthy guys are writing these huge checks. I mean, just huge checks. And the disciples are like, that's amazing. Then a widow comes, and remember, what does she give? Just a few pennies, drops it in the offering plate, and Jesus goes, oh, wait, guys, did you see that? And they're like, see what? What? That guy who wrote that check for $2 million? No, 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 did you see what that widow gave? What? Widow dropped in a few pennies. He said, yeah, but that's all she had. The wealthy gave out of their surplus, she gave all that she had. I find it's interesting, number one, Jesus is watching what people give. Because Jesus said, if I can't trust you with worldly riches, I can't trust you with spiritual riches. So you get it. See, we don't talk about giving in the church because you want to meet a budget or to get programs passed. Folks, that's the aftermath. The reason we talk about finances and giving and generosity, because it helps us grow to be more like Christ. It helps you meet those needs and grow into a generous person. Our God is a generous God. This is for our benefit. God did this for us. God doesn't need our money. I just heard the finance committee gasp. God doesn't need our money. He allows us this opportunity and says, here, I've given you this. Now, are you going to test me? Are you at least going to start here? This is a great starting place. And some of you maybe from giving this to this, it might be a process. Maybe you set some goals and say, listen, by next year, halfway, we'll give maybe more, and we'll get to 5%, and then maybe we'll get to 8 and move. That's okay. You'll see God moving more and more in your life. For others, listen, it's just a commitment. You just step out and go, look, I'm going to do it. And now here's a challenge. Some of you already do this. Praise God, you're tithers. Listen, that's just that's not a threshold. This is John Wesley had a great sermon. He wrote 52 sermons, had them printed, gave them to his circuit riders, and that's what the circuit riders preached, all in the New America. So this church, I'm sure, was visited by early circuit riders. It was built in 1777. Not that exact facility, but the congregation was here. I guarantee that over time, this congregation heard sermon number 50, entitled The Use of Money. John Wesley was very practical. He said three things in a sermon. Every good sermon has 3 points. A poem and then an offering. It's good. Here he said, gain all that you can with one caveat. Not so that it hurts or defrauds other people, but gain all you can. That means be diligent in earning all that you can, as long as you're not defrauding or by earning it you're hurting someone else. Then he said, save all you can. Yeah, he says, save all you can. I bet he'd walk through our homes, maybe even our church, and not recognize us as as Methodists, because we might have some bells and whistles that he wouldn't want. But he said, gain all you can, save all you can, so you can give all you can. And when he says give all, he means like give all. Wesley later on, would say, and Wesley was, by the way, earned lots of money. He wrote lots of books. He was a scholar. He taught at Oxford for a while. But he gave so much away. He wrote and he said, if I die and I have more in my savings account that will pay for a simple funeral and to pay six men to carry my car, I will have died a thief and robber to God. And we go, well, what about his inheritance? But no, he said, this is, and you know, when he died, guess what he had in his savings account? Enough for a very meager funeral and for six men to carry his casket to his gravesite. See, there's a challenge here. There's a challenge. And that challenge is to unlimit God, man. Take the binders off of God. It's almost funny to say that, isn't it? Because God could burst through. But God has set this up for our benefit. It's an invitation. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Trust me with just one-tenth. And if you do this, I'll make sure that what you're managing goes way farther and you'll be prosperous. You know what the definition of biblical prosperity is? It's not you'll have 10 Rolexes, drive a fleet of sports. The definition of prosperity is you will have enough to meet your needs and abundance left over to meet the needs of others. That's what abundance, that's what prosperity is in the scripture. I know sometimes you'll turn on the TV, Chase, and then there's a station, there's a preacher telling you about all the things that you can have. Listen, the biblical prosperity says God will provide for your every need, and make sure you have an abundance left over that you can give to the needs of others. Does that sound familiar? You'll have enough for all your needs with an abundance that you can shoot that thing, the blessings of God and the resources of God, just standing under a waterfall of resource. That's God's way. That's God's desire for us. Now, we have an opportunity. Most of you probably got the letter that just came out that has a commitment card in it. We are working as a leadership team in developing a budget for our ministries, our programs, how we're going to reach our community for Christ in the coming year. And we're going to challenge you and me, all of us, to make that kind of commitment, understanding that it's time to stop limiting God through selfishness. It's time to let go and let God be God in our midst. Let's become a generous congregation, a generous people. And we're going to have extra cards in these weeks to come. If you're not on our mailing list, please get on it. But November 13th, Sunday, November 13th, we're going to have a time where we bring those cards and commit them to God. Now, you don't have to wait to the 13th to sit down with your spouse or to your significant others and have a discussion. And I recommend going to get 10 apples and teach the family. Say, look, Malachi chapter 3 says this. Do we trust God enough to do that? Let's take an adventure. I have found over my life that generous people see their faith as an adventure. It's fun. See, that's why Paul said God loves a cheerful giver. How many of you heard that verse? You know what that word cheerful in the Greek is? It comes from the word that we get the word hilarious. In a few moments, we're going to take our offering. We should be laughing. This is great. I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I'm doing it. I'm trusting God. Are you going to do that? This is great. You know what I was tempted to do? I was tempted for you to take out your wallets or checkbook and then trade them with somebody on the other side of the room and then give from the other person's checkbook. Because it's always easy to give someone else's money, isn't it? That's what our government does, right? It's always easier to spend someone else's. Well, guess what? That money's not yours. It's God's. So it should be easy to let it go. Amen? Well, we'll see. But today's the day. I really want to encourage you. There is a real blessing and there's a real piece of discipleship that comes when we honor God through generous giving. Generosity is the earmark of our God. He is so generous. He loves you and he loves me with all of our idiosyncrasies and all of our weaknesses and frailties. But he looks at us. He says, you're an object of my love. And it's only right that we offer him what he asks. And cheerfully and willingly. And understand that this, folks, this is just a starting point. Wesley said, if a faithful Jew could give 10%, how much more should a Christian bought by the blood of Christ be able to give? Well, that's where we are. Let's bow our heads. Worship team, if you'd come forward. We're going to pray. And in your bulletin, even today, there is our regular commitment card. Maybe God has touched your heart some way, or if we don't have your email, if you didn't get a letter, please put that in there, and we'll make sure they participate with us. God, we thank you for your love and grace, and we thank you that we could never, ever outgive you. That God, your design is that we would be under the waterfall of your resource and grace and love, and it would just flow uninhibited, without any clogs, without any detours, into the lives of those people who you want to bless. You want us to flow it into the resource, the church of Jesus Christ, who reaches people for you and feeds people and counsels people and guides, but like no other organization does. And that's because we're not an organization. We're a living organism, the body and the bride of Christ. So God, help us get on this journey. Help us get on this journey. God, if we're not tithing now, show us steps that we can do that will help us get there, to understand the beauty and the trust of giving you that tenth. And God, if for those folks, God bless them, already doing it, show them the joy and adventure of going beyond the tithe. The adventure. I just can't imagine that widow, Lord, who gave all. Where did she eat that night? How did you provide for her? How did she pay rent? It must be a great story, because we know that you did that for her. God, in these quiet moments, help us pull out the junk in our pipe and lay it at the altar and just ask your forgiveness. Sorry, God, that we let this get in the way of what you were doing in our lives. You wanted to do so much more. Well, God, now you can, because we lay it down at the altar. God, we thank you. We thank you that you're the God of second and third and fourth and a million chances. And this is another one, God. We know we should be generous. Just help us be doers of your word, not hearers only. God, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.